This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 270, recorded Monday, October 12th, 2015. Also Columbus Day.
Columbus Day?
Yes, Columbus Day. In 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
What happened?
That noise is coming through. I was in the middle of playing and suddenly everything's ringing.
What's ringing?
That's my emergency line. I wonder what that was.
Wow, that's weird. You went back to my audio.
Yeah, the probably reason why you heard that is because of the other thing.
What's the other thing?
Well, see, instead of using the computer I normally use, I have everything hooked up to a Chromebook because I was doing some renovations around here, and the computer that I had doing your audio and video, although we don't use video at the moment, was disconnected. So I have a Chromebook sitting there doing, and it probably also has the other account, the one that hooks up to my Google Voice number. Hope that wasn't an emergency.
Somebody called you on the bat line?
Well, generally, I don't get phone calls at this time of night unless there's an emergency. Maybe I should go check. Here, we'll pause the podcast for a moment. Well, thank you for holding there for a moment. Sorry, you know how it is. People never call me. You always assume when you get a phone call from a familiar number that never calls you, that it must be something worth hearing about. Anyway, let's continue. Where were we? Oh, yes, it is Monday the 12th. It's Columbus Day. Are you celebrating, Jerry, with traditional Columbus Day activities?
I am. I went over to my neighbor's house, kicked her door in, and said, "This is my house now."
Really?
Did you? That's how you celebrate Columbus Day, right? That's
what Columbus Day. Did you give her smallpox?
I didn't have any.
You should have prepared in advance.
Yeah, but it's not a major holiday, so I figured, want to put out the effort.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Anyway, so it is Monday. It is a federal holiday in the U.S. But Jerry, did you work today?
I did.
So did I. Okay. So,
a lot.
So we're both not big.
We're not federal employees.
Yeah. But, did you take advantage of any Columbus Day sales?
No. I worked today. Didn't we cover that?
Yeah, but I sometimes buy things online when I take a break. You know, I subscribe to one of those deal lists where it tells you when there are sales. I want to know when it's 50% off of SD cards. By the way, Amazon has a sale on SD cards today.
Woo!
And SSD drives, which I always found is a problem because why do you call it an SSD drive if the D stands for drive?
I don't know. Why do you call it an ATM machine?
It's the same question.
Yep.
Okay, so earlier today...
Why do you drive on a parkway and park on a driveway?
Well, you see, I don't. I park in a car park.
Okay. Oh, man.
But I got an email earlier today from you. And you don't normally email me during the week.
I don't, but it was an exciting thing.
Yes. And you want to tell everybody what the exciting thing that happened to you today was?
My Nexus 5 received the over-the-air update for Marshmallow. Android 6.
Isn't it Mallow?
I grew up saying Marshmallow.
No, I say Marshmallow, but isn't it spelled Mallow?
It is. Hence my question on how it's pronounced.
I don't know. I always said marshmallow also.
I did too. But while I was typing, I noticed it's marshmallow.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean anything. English is a funny language.
It is?
In this, it is a funny language in the sense that it is not always consistent in its spelling.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true.
So I'm not talking about funny in the sense ha-ha, but...
Hee-hee!
But funny in the sense that a lot of words are not spelled as they would necessarily sound. But later... Only a short time after that, I said, I better go check my phone, which because yes. I was at home today working here, I was in the other room because I don't need a phone because I have a bank of three computers. Well, three monitors. But anyway, well, five if you count the ones over there. Sorry, I keep trying to compete with you on that. I only have six in here right now.
It's okay.
Well, technically seven, but I don't count the one that's disconnected on the floor. And if you count the 2 7-inch monitors I have, that's nine. Got the television, that's 10. It's technically hooked up to a computer. And I have a laptop, or in this case, a Chromebook set up because I have the computer I normally deliver your sound through is being renovated. And it's moving. It will no longer be your sound computer.
Oh, no.
I had a brilliant idea.
Uh-oh.
Or a stupid idea, depending on your perspective.
Sure.
Well, I have a computer that I've been using to talk to you that I only turn on once a week.
Poor computer.
I think that's wasteful. So I have a computer hooked up to my television that I use to play back recordings since I have a Myth TV set up.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to myself, what if I put Jerry up on the big screen? And then the computer I use to play back things on the television will become the communications computer that one day a week I needed to be a communications computer. Then it's doing something all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought a nuke. Or is that a nuck?
It's a nuck.
Not a nuke?
No.
Why not? Nuke sounds better.
Sorry.
Nuck. I prefer nuke.
Okay.
There's a different
acronym. There are no modifiers anywhere near the U to make it into a long U. Thus, I use a short U.
All I can say is there's a different acronym that's also NUC that's mm-hmm. pronounced nuke. So maybe it's better if this is a nuke. Neutral unit of currency.
Okay. What is the U in nuke stand for?
Unit, as in next unit of computing.
Really?
Isn't it? So maybe it should be nuke because the word unit.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. That's why I asked.
Let's see. I'm almost positive that it stands for, yeah, next unit of computing. Yeah. Next unit of computing is a small form factor PC based on the Sandy Bridge Celeron processor, later next generation based on Ivy Bridge. So basically, yeah, it's unit as well.
Cool.
Although after that, I spoke to our mutual friend, Dan Fry. He made me think I should have bought a Liva X2, which is also like one of those mini computers instead of a nuke mm-hmm. or a nuke. Maybe next time.
What's that?
What, a Liva?
Yeah.
The basic difference, they're both these systems on a chip that come in a tiny form factor. The difference is that the Nuke uses laptop memory and a 2.5-inch hard drive.
Right.
Or solid-state drive. The Liva is only a little more than what I paid for the bare-bones Nuke, although they threw in the RAM for free, and I have enough hard drive sitting around here.
Right.
It comes with 2 gigabytes of onboard memory and built-in 32 gigabytes of SSD storage with an optional expansion slot if you want more. And 32 gigabytes is more than enough to just install an OS.
Okay.
But you know, one uses a standard hard drive and standard RAM, and the other doesn't. But I may not need a standard hard drive and standard RAM for what I was doing. So I bookmarked it for the next time I want a little tiny computer that I know how much you hated the Raspberry Pi. I had a Pi death last week.
Oh.
Well, the Pi is fine. The SD card that it uses for memory,
mm-hmm.
that failed. I shouldn't have bought those cheap Micro Center SD cards.
You should not.
Well, not for something. Admittedly, that's fine for a camera you use once in a blue moon to take pictures. It is probably not fine for something that's where you're using it as a hard drive or where you're using it as the primary OS drive for a system. Although I have learned this time that after I get the configuration right, I'm making an image backup of it. Hindsight. Anyway, yep. I just wanted to tell you that I will have to request a change to our schedule for the 26th of this month. I have been informed somebody needs me to take care of their work shift that evening. So I will not be available at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
There are a few choices. I would be available in the morning, or we could do it on Tuesday night.
Tuesday night's better.
Okay. So we will reschedule for Tuesday the 27th. But I'll remind you about that next week.
If you do it in the calendar like you've done previously, then that's all I need.
That finally worked. You realize I did that 3 years ago and I just dragged it to a different time.
Okay.
You told me you never noticed 3 years ago.
I haven't.
Okay. Whereas it reminds me every hour before the podcast.
Well, let's just say I've recently changed some stuff. So now my calendar is more visible. Yeah.
Okay. So that explains why you didn't notice before. So, a few things. We both had Marshmallow, which is where we got sidetracked.
Marshmallow!
So, what have you noticed so far?
Okay, so check this out. You're going to be so disappointed in me, but this is what I've noticed. I went looking around the the settings and stuff looking for new stuff.
Yeah.
And I found this thing called Daydream.
And
have you heard of it?
Yeah, what was new about it?
There's nothing new about it. Nothing at all. It's standard old Daydream. But I thought it was cool, so I've turned it on. I've noticed that if you scroll down to the bottom of the list, you know, okay, so you swipe down again, you hit the gear key, right?
Yeah.
If you scroll all the way down to the bottom, there's a system UI tuner. And I like that. That was fun.
Oh, you found the system UI tuner? Because it's actually hidden by default.
Is it?
Yeah, in order for me to activate it, I was actually going to mention it. I had to hold down on the gear, pull down the notification state, hold down on the gear for 5 seconds, and that enabled it. It was not enabled by default.
Oh. I don't know. Worked for me. And so I have turned on show the battery percentage because I like that type of information.
Yeah, I had a widget that did that that appeared on the bar. I was able to uninstall that and just use this. Did you take anything off of the status bar?
I haven't, but I'm see, there's nothing really there I want to take off. There's the Bluetooth thing that maybe I could take off, but everything else I kind of want to know is there. Maybe the alarm I could take off, because that's always set.
Okay, well, I like knowing there's a pending alarm.
I always have pending alarms.
Oh, that's a good point. And I assume you also have developer mode on your phone?
Yes.
Okay, there were a bunch of new things in there, I noticed. But if you're not a developer, you're not fiddling with those things, it's not really worth it. What else did you notice?
The way that you select widgets is different.
Oh, really? That I did not notice either.
It's like all, like, I don't know, I think it looks nicer.
Okay, oh, it's now scrolling instead of you swiping through them.
Which kind of matches the what the applications area does now. Because when you used to swipe left and right for applications.
Yeah,
but now you scroll.
Yeah, but there were other ones that scrolled.
What else did I notice? Oh, Google on Tap. I found that. That was interesting.
Where'd you find it? I was trying to find it.
Oh, just hold down the home button. And it'll pop up and say, do you want to turn me on? And then you say yes. And then you, no matter where you are, you can hold down the home button, and it'll take a look at what's on your screen and offer you stuff about it.
Okay, I was wondering where you turned that on. So I should try tapping something. Nothing on tap. Okay. I'm wondering what's enabled for it right now.
Well, I think it actually looks at the text on the screen, because I opened up my TV show, the thing I use to keep track of when shows come on and what I've watched and stuff. And I opened up the description for a episode and did the Google on Tap thing, and it brought up stuff about the show.
Okay, so it's just searching the page, huh?
I think so.
Okay, but I'm sure that from what I understood, there was more stuff.
I believe you can do OK Google stuff with it when it's up.
Well, you know, we really shouldn't say that.
What? Okay, Google?
It's going to annoy someone.
Okay, Google.
I think we need a safe word.
Okay, Google. Pause the podcast.
I'm just saying, I think we need a safe word to avoid annoying people. You know, instead of saying what you just said, we say something slightly different that everybody understands means that.
But if it's close enough, Google will understand it as that.
Yes, but I'm saying we need something. What if we say, okay, Alphabet? That can't be confused.
I don't know. Okay, Microsoft?
I wasn't going to go that far. Alphabet is at least the parent company of Google.
Okay, Bing? No?
No. What's next? I'm going to suggest, may the Schwartz be with you.
I don't know. Okay. Let's.
Sorry, I saw enough. Mel Brooks the other day.
I still have work to do.
Yeah, we have to talk more about Marshmallow.
Okay, Marshmallow. And that's pretty much what I noticed. I did not notice any huge battery savings or that the phone is more responsive.
Well, I noticed the phone was a bit more responsive. I don't know if that's going to last. Because remember, when you upgrade the operating system, it optimizes everything and clears out some junk.
Yes.
But that stuff always comes back after a while.
Well, the battery, you know, I just got it a few hours ago, so we'll see how the battery happens.
I've been leaving it on the desk, and it's been running down.
Oh.
Then again, I'm using it now just because I'm going through some of the stuff that I noticed. So let's go to a few. There's now in the settings, there's now a new memory setting, which we discussed, I know, previously, which allows you to show average memory use over a period of time, as well as memory currently used.
Saw that. Yep.
Now they've reverted some of the sound changes. So I just got used to, you know, priority. When you tried to minimize the sound, it would go to priority mode.
Oh, that reminds me of the other thing I found.
Yeah.
If you press one of the volume buttons, you know, it pops, it slides down and says, and shows you the volume while you're changing it, right?
Yeah.
There's a little arrow over there now. And so you can, the volume can change the volume on, you know, whatever you're in, or system notifications, or, and alarms.
Yeah, but remember how they had removed volume, real volume control like that in favor of, you know, priority notifications?
Yes.
They moved that. If you actually pull down your notification pane, you have a do not disturb setting. And if you hit that, it goes, it will do the old priority it'll do priority until you turn it off or for a certain number of hours. It'll do alarms only or total silence. So they basically tried to tweak that feature a bit.
Right. I've got, yes.
And if you
right
go
now
to,
I've got it set for alarms only.
Yeah, but
until 8:30.
Yeah, but did 8:30? Oh, in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But if you actually look at the settings, now what you can do is not only do you have the total silence alarms only a priority, which replaced the previous options. What was it? A priority important and nothing. But there's more settings. If you go to more settings, it'll actually let you set what priority means.
Mm-hmm.
For example, it'll say it has alarms, reminders, events, messages, and then it can be messages from anyone, contacts, starred contacts, or none. It has calls from anyone, no one, contacts only, and starred contacts, and repeat callers. If the same person calls a second time within a 15-minute period, allow it. So basically,
which is super neat.
And then below that, it has an automatic rule setting where you can have an automatic rule that you would set up to change the do not disturb settings. The default ones are weekend, weeknight, and event. So you can set up time rules. You can set up events.
Really?
Hey, you notice that?
Well, I've always had a, I've got a scheduled a downtime that's from 10 p.m. to 8 a.m. But I haven't actually tried.
But now that functionality where you do that is actually built into the OS, where previously it was available through a variety of different applications. Now the only thing that annoys me is I can't set, let's say, a private calendar for the events that I want. One of the options is events off of a calendar. It allows for the main calendars, but not for a custom calendar. So if I wanted to set up a calendar that just had events that I wanted it to shut off during, that it doesn't seem to allow me to do.
Hmm. Yeah, it's all of the calendar or none of the calendar, right?
Well, all of the calendars. So that I have more than one email account on my phone. All of the calendar, all of the events for that calendar, I can't select a custom calendar. So I have a custom calendar that's not my main calendar that's called work. For example,
right?
That's where I put my work schedule, which is separate from my main calendar. The idea being that I may not want to share when I'm at work publicly. There may be some people I want to know it, but if everybody knew it, then I could get robbed, for example.
Hmm.
I'm not necessarily being paranoid. I'm just saying I set them up as separate calendars so that I could deliver them specifically to people I wanted to tell about.
Okay.
So there are some nice features there if you want to have a look. Also, instead of just storage, it is now actually says storage in USB. And under it, if you look, there's actually a file explorer.
I saw that, especially, which is really nice when you're trying to figure out what other is.
Yeah, so there's now a built-in file explorer there. Tap and Pay is now an option with Android Pay enabled. Let's see what else we have here. We mentioned the system UI tuner. I think that pretty much covers under apps. If you go under apps and hit the settings cog, it'll actually show you the new app permissions settings and the new app link settings. So basically, there's a menu there where you can configure app permissions by type. This is for the new permissions model for Marshmallow, where I have two apps that can access my body sensors. I didn't know I had body sensors. 12 apps can access my calendar. 32 apps, according to this, can access my camera.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I might want to change some of those now that I can. For example, 15 apps can access my SMS permissions, which is interesting because I don't actually send SMS. So maybe I should turn off Amazon Shopping's ability to access SMS.
I found it interesting that I had 74 of 77 apps allowed for storage. Like, there were some that were not authorized to storage, like the HP Print Service plugin and LastPass. And what was the other one? README. Really? Wow.
Well, again, it might just be they never asked for that permission. Some apps ask for every permission and some don't.
No, because like Microphone, I've only got 20 of 20, and these are the apps that have asked for Microphone.
Yeah, but where all of them haven't asked, or maybe they asked and changed their mind. I don't know. But we'll see. I'm curious to see what happens. First, I have not actually installed an app that has dynamically asked me for permission yet.
Can we go off on a tangent real quick?
Okay.
Since we were looking at permissions?
Yeah.
Okay, so a little while ago, I installed an update to Netflix. And when I installed it, it said, it wants to access to your microphone. I thought, what? Why does it want access to my microphone? And I looked at the changelog, and one of these was, one of the changes was a fix to allow for a better experience over Bluetooth. Now, I have watched Netflix in my car. You know, the most common option is I'm doing laundry at the laundromat for the dog's stuff, and I'm sitting in the car watching Netflix. And if I run it through the speakers of the car, there is a horrible lip sync problem, like a second, second and a half. It's horrible. So I haven't done that. Last night, I went to wash the dog's clothes, and I was sitting there, and I ran it through again. And I noticed that the lip sync was almost dead on this time. And I figure what they're doing is they're using the microphone to listen to the audio, and they know when the audio and the video are supposed to be synced, and it delays or advances the audio until it hears what it wants to hear. And I thought, what a great idea. And I was pleased.
You aren't afraid that it's listening to you?
You know, sometimes permissions are used for good.
And sometimes I feel like they need a better explanation. A few other things. Under that configures app thing I mentioned, not only does it have app permissions, it has app links, which is one of the things that was mentioned earlier this year, where basically an app can put a special file on its related website. For example, Amazon can go and put a file on Amazon.com and say, if you get a request to open a link at Amazon.com, pass it over to this app.
Yeah.
So that's a new feature. So for example, if...
Okay, so these are the under open by default.
Well, you can change it. Not right, under open by default, it's under app links.
I don't see app links.
Where are you?
Okay, so I'm at the settings.
Under apps.
I see apps. And then I see a tap apps and I get a list of apps.
And then hit the cog in the corner.
Okay, app links.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So for example,
now I get it.
Yeah, so if I have Amazon Shopping installed, and it says that with Amazon Shopping, I can have it, if somebody gives a link to Amazon.com, right now it says ask every time. But if I switched it over to open in this app, anytime I clicked an Amazon link, it would open the Amazon Shopping app.
Well, that's kind of nice, because I've always kind of leaned towards selecting just once. Because, you know, always is kind of a big commitment.
And you can override it. The options are open in this app, ask every time, which is the traditional behavior, and do not open in this app. So even if an app registers, you can still override it.
Huh.
So now, instead of it asking me if I want to open YouTube videos in YouTube, it'll automatically, because I have the YouTube app in, it'll automatically open up the YouTube app.
Neat.
I think so.
And it also gives you the option of not doing that.
Well, if it didn't give you the option of not doing it.
Like if it accidentally hit always?
Well, it gives you the option of overriding it, yes. And for some site, I just changed the behavior. It was said, ask me every time, because I have two Amazon apps. I have the Amazon Music app installed in the shopping app, but I never click links to open up music. So I'm fine with it just always opening up automatically as a shopping issue. And I'll override it if I need. So there we are. And then also in the configure app section, you get default apps. So now this is where you set your default browser app, your default phone app, your default SMS app, and your default assist app.
What's an assist app?
For example, Google. Assist apps help you based on information from the screen you're viewing. Some apps support both launcher and voice input services to give you integrated assistance. So basically, Google now, and there are alternatives.
What did you do? I heard you did something.
I said Google now. Wait a minute. Google now. That's odd. The sentence I said was, I said Google now, and it opened. I didn't say the key phrase, OK Alphabet.
I don't even think my phone responds to OK. Let me try this. I'm going to mute myself real quick.
OK. This is exciting. Jerry has muted himself so we can't hear whether his experiment is successful until he returns to tell us.
Okay, Google. It doesn't respond to me saying, okay, Google. Not at all.
You probably just set off a bunch of other people there.
Okay, Google.
You know there's a setting for it, right? That tells it to listen.
Make me a sandwich.
You're a sandwich?
That's still making you laugh?
Poof, you're a sandwich.
You know that...
Pseudo, make me a sandwich.
Here are the listings for delis within 6 miles.
I love Google.
That's why we're here, yeah. Isn't it?
Okay, so where's the OK Google setting?
It's in the Google Now settings.
Google Now settings. I don't know where there are Google Now settings.
If you go into Google Now, there's a settings option.
Okay, settings, search language, voice. Let's try under voice. OK Google detection.
And then you have options, which is from the Google app, from any screen, and then trusted voice. Oh, I have trusted voice off. I should turn that on, but I will have to wait.
Okay, Google.
Until
okay, Google. Okay, Google.
Until we're done with the show, because I wouldn't want to disrespectfully do that.
Ooh, let's try that again. Okay, Google. Okay, Google. Okay, Google. Apparently, I had to train it when you turn it on.
Maybe it doesn't understand your accent.
Okay, so here we go. Okay, Google. Pseudo, make me a sandwich.
Here are the listings for delis within 6 miles.
Have you tried beam me up, Scotty?
Okay, Google. Beam me up, Scotty.
I can't do it, Cap'n. I do have the power.
You do know we've done this before, right? The part that I'm finding hilarious is that you don't remember we've done this before.
Oh, does barrel roll work? Okay, Google, do a barrel roll. Oh, and it kind of did. That was funny. All right.
So I'm sure we're going to hear more about how marshmallow is affecting our future.
Yep.
But, you know, there's a lot of nice little things here. Do you think anything is revolutionary, Jerry?
No, it's evolutionary, which is fine. I think we've gotten the operating system to a point where, you know, revolutionary stuff is not really welcome. One of the things I really liked when, after the update, was I turned my phone on, and I knew where everything was. Everything felt comfortable. It was like, just like what I had, but I can deal with this.
I was a little confused when I tried to mute the phone for the podcast.
Why is that?
Because before, I would just hit the volume key and then press a button and it would go into do not disturb, formerly priority mode. Now it took me about a minute to realize, no, now you have to pull down and there's an option for it in the pull down on the notification sheet.
Ooh, okay, so right now my phone is on the charger, the wireless charger, yeah. Right? It's got Daydream on, okay?
Yeah.
So if I were to say, okay, Alphabet, what time is it? What would it do?
It would probably work as long as the phone's on.
Let's try this. Okay, Google. What time is it?
The time is 10:58 p.m.
That was so cool. It didn't even take it out of daydream mode.
This is why I'm surprised you didn't know about this. This is perfect, except for one potential problem, Jerry.
We're lighting up everybody's phone?
No, I'm going to go with what would happen if you start talking in your sleep.
I'm probably not going to say, okay, Google, in my sleep.
Would be amusing, wouldn't it?
Although, interestingly, in the sentence where I just used, okay, Google, it did not respond. My phone didn't.
These things happen.
Okay, Google. What time is it? What time is it? Googly poo! Nah. I think it expects a pause after okay, Google.
I guess. That might be how it reduces false positives.
Could be. So maybe if we just say, okay, Google, make me a sandwich.
Whatever. So a lot of people are unhappy. Apparently, Motorola has released its list of phones that will receive an update to Marshmallow.
Yeah.
And some people are upset about what is not on there.
What do you mean?
For example, basically 2014 phones.
Right.
And 2015 phones are not on the list.
Oh, wow. 2015 phones?
So, for one, the 2014 Moto X on AT&T and Verizon. The mm-hmm. Moto E, the 2015 Moto E specifically. So, basically, a phone that was offered and sold to people this year will not be getting an update. So, Motorola has, you know, and this is the argument, has spent the last few years trying to build an image of being a very friendly company for users.
Right.
And now, what are they doing? Oh, bought a phone 7 months ago, bought a phone last year, won't get an update. You know, and remember, all these companies were saying that a phone deserves about 18 months of updates to be reasonable.
Okay, sure.
And again, even if you're saying that a phone only deserves a year of updates, that still eliminates something from 2014 and 2015 that they're not updating. So why would you want to buy a phone where they're not demonstrating that they would maintain it even for 12 months?
Yeah. So how is LG doing on that front? Is LG good or bad? Because I'm still debating about the G4.
Well, let's see if they made a promise.
They said the G4 is going to get Marshmallow, but it'll be in December. But
well, that's but it's an update, and they're probably. What about the G3, the previous model? Well, the G3 just got an update to Lollipop 5.1.1 5 days ago. Thank you, Verizon.
Wow.
But they did say there is a report that the G3 will also get Marshmallow. So they're going back two versions, which is about where you should be. 18 months is about two versions.
But, you know, it takes so long. You know what I mean?
But the question is not did you get a lot of new versions of something. The question is did they support the product with updates for a period of time that was reasonable?
Well, is it reasonable from the time you bought it or reasonable from the time it was originally introduced?
The time it was originally introduced. If you bought a phone at the end of its life, then that's a little different. I'm saying that this applies specifically if you bought the phone early or, again, any time during the lifespan of the device. And the lifespan of the device is not when you bought it, is when from the time of first release. Oh, and I did want to say hi to Murph.
Hi, Murph.
Murph is in the chat room.
Hello, Murph.
Yep. Murph has a Motorola Nexus 6. I wonder whether or not Murph will be upgrading to the 6P.
He might. He's already got the big old phone, and the 6P's not a bad phone.
Well, before that, I think he had a Galaxy Nexus. He has a longer upgrade cycle than you might. He just bought that phone last year. There are some new Android distribution numbers out.
Yay!
Lollipop is at 23.5%.
That's probably about to drop.
Well, you know I'm sad, Jerry, now.
Why?
Because the only time I ever got you to sing on the show was when you sung that particular song.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You sung a song by the Cordettes.
I did not. I did not. And how dare you slander me such? Or is it libel? Do you have to write it down for it to be libel, or if you write it down, is it slander?
Well, here's the question.
I always get those backwards.
Are you saying you're offended by the suggestion you might have sung?
I'm saying that you are assassinating my character.
How?
With the mistruths.
What was that?
With the speaking of mistruths. Truths. Mistruths.
Not quite.
You lying, yo.
I'm lying?
Yeah, I don't sing. I don't know what you're talking about. I think you're just trying to make stuff up.
I don't know about that.
I know about that.
Okay.
And I don't know why you would do that, because I'm such a nice person.
Well, Lollipop is at 23.5%.
It is.
Kit Kat at 38.9%, and Jelly Bean at 30.2%.
And Marshmallow, not even on the map.
It's only been a day since you got it. Not even a day. And Murph doesn't plan to upgrade, but he has already gotten Marshmallow on his next 7.
Sweet.
I just checked my Nexus 7. It's not on there yet, although it is installing a security update.
Now, I believe I will find it interesting to see what the stats are next month, because next month will probably only reflect Nexus devices, right?
Well, yeah, there may be one or two early adopters, but yeah, pretty much.
So, how much of an impact is only Nexus users going to make? 1%? 0.5%? 0.01?
I don't know. I suppose we'll have to find out.
And that we will.
Apparently, the update to the Google app has made it easier to set your home and work addresses. I haven't tried because my home and work address is already set.
I haven't tried either because my home and work addresses are exactly the same.
I like to get out of the house every so often.
I do too, but that's why I have a backyard.
I think I have one. I better go open the blinds and see whether or not there's a backyard back there, if there's just a blank wall. I'll check later. SwiftKey is working on SwiftKey Neural.
I saw that. That is so hot.
Basically, it uses an artificial neural network to make more accurate predictions. So currently, this is a beta product, which will probably, if it's viable, be incorporated into the actual main SwiftKey. But this allows people to test it and for them to get feedback.
Yay, feedback.
Titanium Backup now has support for Android 6.0.
Yeah. Now I just need to root my device so I can use it.
I can take it or leave it. The latest Street View supports Google Cardboard. Now, this one I'm excited about because I'm thinking of buying a ViewMaster.
It's like the little thing, and it moved to the next picture?
No, you didn't hear that there is a Google Cardboard version of the ViewMaster. So Mattel actually put out a ViewMaster Virtual Reality Starter Pack, which is instead of it being made of cardboard, it's basically a Google Cardboard device that's made out of plastic.
Okay.
Although I suppose the cardboard is cheaper, but there's something to be said for something that isn't disposable.
There is?
Well, there are other things, but I'm very tempted, not necessarily to get the ViewMaster, but I am tempted to get some sort of Google Cardboard. And I know there are some of them that are actually made that are of a more durable material. For example, I could get for $16.99, I can get the 8-1s VR kit,
mm-hmm.
which, let's see, I don't know what that's made out of, but it is a complete Google Cardboard kit with head strap, magnetic clicker, protective film, and reprogrammable NFC chip. Oh, no, this is premium quality cardboard, except it's black cardboard. I thought I saw one that was made of plastic or some other, you know, material that's a little more durable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here we are. Plastic manufacturing. The A24 ColorCross Virtual Reality 3D glasses for 4 to 5.6-inch smartphones, Google Cardboard, $1,348. And it is made, let's see here, of plastic manufacturing, excellent workmanship. I always worry when a company actually says excellent workmanship.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are. Function sufficiently for watching 3D or 360 movies. To interact with the phone, you need to open it and touch it. So basically, it doesn't have the magnets.
Is that bad?
Well, I think the idea of the magnets is that's how it feels. It figures out when you're moving.
Okay.
If I understand correctly. Let's see. What is the magnet? I want to look this up. What is the magnet for in Google Cardboard? Everything you need to know. Here we are. The magnet. Here we are. The magnet is a button. Since you can't touch your phone's screen when it's inside, the magnet, when moved, acts as if you've pressed your screen. It uses the phone's magnetometer, which is usually used for compass functions, to sense this and control while it's in the cardboard. I think after the show, I'm going to pick out a nice, high-quality cardboard. High quality is in between $10 and $20. I don't need it to look like a ViewMaster, but I think it's worth playing with.
Okie dokie.
I like toys.
Yes. Yes,
you do. You have to stop me sometime, Jerry.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
No one else is going to.
I know.
Who stops you?
Nobody.
I thought you had a family.
I do.
They don't say, why are you buying that junk?
Normally, no.
Okay. This is where I need my relatives. I better call my father and ask him to yell at me. It might save me some money. Anyway, moving along. Auto Dash for Android offers a car-friendly interface for driving. It's back, Jerry.
It's back.
Do you remember when we started the show, I had tried out a few of these apps for big buttons when I was driving?
Yes.
Somebody's trying it again. And this time it's automatic.
Automatic,
you say? That's automatic with one T, not to be confused with automatic with two Ts.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, automatic is actually a company that makes a device that hooks into your car's OBD2 port.
Right.
So basically they make a little Bluetooth device that plugs into your the car's diagnostic report and sends that data to your phone via wireless.
Neato.
There are actually a bunch of these. Automatic makes a $100 one. I think they're cheaper ones. I know nothing about which one's better than another. So basically, they released an app called AutoDash, which allows you to set, you know, big shortcuts on the screen for your commonly used car app. And then if you have their automatic dongle, it gives you some additional functionality.
Sweet.
But it reminds me, even not just talking about apps, but do you remember the original Droid, which you didn't have? I mentioned a bunch of times, had a car mode.
Mm-hmm.
They had this car dock. When you put it in, there was a magnet on the back of the dock that triggered a switch in the phone that put it into dock mode.
Yep.
Ah, the good old days. Anyway, Google's Creative Lab released Meter, which is a live wallpaper that shows signal strength, notification count, and battery life. Have you tried this?
Nope.
Do you use live wallpapers, Jerry?
I do not. I found that they sucked up my battery too much.
Well, this is an interesting one because it actually has a potential use. So I don't know how battery intensive it is, but basically it shows a bunch of strange shapes on the screen.
Yeah.
That indicate certain things to you.
Like?
I mentioned it. Signal strength, notification count, and battery life.
Mm.
So it's not constantly moving. So a live wallpaper is often in constant movement. This is like a periodic. Mm. So it might not use up that much battery. Let's see what the reviews say.
What do the reviews say?
A little janky sometimes. Very nice app. Grows on you. Forgot how much I liked live wallpapers. Not working on the HTC 820. Please fix. Moving along. In some other news, Firefox is dropping MPAPI plugins by the end of 2016, with the exception of Flash. Remember we mentioned MPAPI in the past?
Yes.
When Chrome dropped MPAPI.
Bad MPAPI.
Yeah. California now requires police to get a warrant before collecting emails, IP addresses, or other electronic information. So if you're in California, you're protected from the police going and looking through your private information. If you are not in California, you're still screwed. That includes both of us, Jerry.
Oh.
You're not in California.
I'm not.
Although on a positive note, most of the major tech companies in the United States are headquartered in California. That may help. LogMeIn has bought LastPass for $125 million.
This makes me so sad.
Why?
Because LastPass's motivations were very simple to understand. They made money by being, you know, security was their thing, keeping track of your passwords. Well, it's not like that anymore. Now,
how so?
LogMeIn is the big old moneymaker now, so...
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Well, you know,
I'm not saying it couldn't. I'm just saying, here is what Joe Segrist said on the subject.
Mm-hmm.
From the LastPass blog. This is after people were concerned. To address some concerns that the community have raised, I want to personally assure you that this is good news for our users. First of all, we have no plans to change our existing business model. Secondly, this acquisition provides us with access to resources that will enable us to innovate faster as we continue to strive to deliver an even better product than the one you've come to know and love. It is also important that the current LastPass team is staying in place and remains committed to deliver on the promise of privacy, security, and convenience. So basically, that could be bad in the sense that you never know when a company is acquired by another company whether or not it will be a good thing or not,
right.
Whether or not the product will be reliable, whether or not it will change. But I think it's premature to say that you should jump ship away from LastPass. You know, keep your options open because they haven't actually demonstrated that they're doing something that you wouldn't like. Admittedly, LogMeIn does not have the best track record in that area.
Well, my main problem with LastPass,
yeah,
with LogMeIn,
yeah,
is that now I can't remember any specific instances. So you know what? I won't say anything because I don't want to be, you know, guilty of...
Well, they did have a free tier and got rid of it, which pissed off a lot of people.
Yeah, but...
People weren't paying. You know, I have one of the...
LogMeIn's an expensive service to maintain, so... Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, the way that they handled it, I think, made some people upset.
Well,
which I understand.
Cut off a service, of course, it's going to upset people. Now, granted, I guess maybe they could have given a little bit more notice, but, you know, hey, whatever.
But that's, I said, the way they handled it. Not necessarily that they stopped offering a complimentary product. The way that they handled it and the way that they set up alternatives. And some, you know, and the road is littered with announcements like this. We have been bought out by Company X. Nothing will change. A year later, we are now discontinuing Product X. Thank you for your support. How many times have you seen that?
I know.
It happens a lot. And anytime one company buys another company, despite what they promise, you have to worry about that. But it hasn't happened. I'd say you want to start looking at alternatives. Have your alternative in your back pocket.
Yes.
There's no reason to leave right now.
I am currently investigating, shall we say.
Look at Dashlane, I hear, has a good reputation. But I don't know what their security is like. One of the things I liked about LastPass is that there were a lot of good reviews from people who knew what they're talking about the way they did security. While I certainly think I know what I'm talking about, when it comes to analyzing whether or not security implementations are good or bad, that's not my area of expertise.
Yeah, I know.
So anyone that's been vetted and reviewed by people who know more than I do, I would like to hear about it. Send in your suggestions, but don't necessarily jump ship tomorrow, but always be prepared to jump ship. I'm prepared to jump ship from Google if I had to. I'm not talking about completely, but if I decided tomorrow I didn't want to use Gmail and I wanted to go to a private email server, I know exactly who I'd be using. I have a list somewhere. I forget who it is, but I wrote it down the last time I researched it. What's the name of that company? It's going to bother me. I better look it up again. Anyway, but same thing with any other service. I try to have a backup because I don't like being caught. I was very
annoyed.
You know, I'm saying it happens, but what can you do? Moving along, Verizon's planning a rate hike for its remaining unlimited data users. If you still have unlimited data with Verizon, it'll be $20 more a month. Unless you want to go to a non-unlimited plan.
Bad, bad people.
Well, they can't always all be as successful as Sprint. How is Sprint doing?
So I think Sprint's about to go out of business.
I hope not. I have
shares.
Yeah,
me too.
I have shares. Well, let's see here.
Okay, Google. Sprint's latest stock price.
$4.50.
Sprint Corp closed up 0.67% today at $4.50.
By the way.
See that? Yeah.
I bought it at $4.71.
Wow, good job.
Yes, I lost 21 cents. It's a good job. A share.
Wait, was the price $4.50 or $41.50?
$4.50.
Oh, I thought it was
$4.50. I lost 21 cents a share.
I'm sorry.
It's your fault, Jerry. Spend more money.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I'm only sending them like $300 a month.
Yeah, I only own 100 shares. If their price goes up, maybe I'll cash out my position. I want to know how I own 8.9171 shares of something. I should buy more of that.
Okay, so... Yep.
You want to talk about the next story, Jerry?
Not really.
Why not? It's a sad story.
It's your bailiwick, man.
OCLC has printed the last library catalog cards. Isn't that sad?
I don't know what that means.
You know, when you were a kid and you went to the library, you went to the card catalog and there were these typewritten cards inside the card catalog that represented books?
Yes.
OCLC was the company that if you didn't want to type them out yourself, they would... When you bought the book, you could subscribe and they would send you the cards for the book with the book.
Oh.
So they're no longer, you can no longer pay them to give you library catalog cards. So if you happen to be one of the individuals who still uses a paper library card catalog and you're adding books to your collection, you're going to have to type out your card catalog cards by hand.
Okie dokie.
Or get a computer. Do you know there are plenty of free library cataloging softwares available on the internet?
I did not.
There are plenty of free things on the internet. And finally, Google has announced its accelerated mobile pages project. Have you read about this, Jer?
No. Oh, yes. The AMP stuff?
Yeah.
It's everywhere. You know, I kind of like it in theory, but... Oh, man.
Have you read the implementation?
No.
Okay, the implementation... you're familiar with HTML, right?
Yes, very.
I didn't feel I had to ask that, but I thought I would cover myself. The standard tag for an image is IMG.
Yes.
In AMP, they are using AMP-IMG. And then they include this little JavaScript library. So you're not allowed to have any JavaScript in an AMP page except for this library that they include.
Right.
Part of the that takes the AMP-IMG things and actually re-renders the images. So that means that if you turn JavaScript off, the AMP version of the page doesn't work.
Right.
So the thing that really annoys me about AMP is it breaks the internet.
No, it breaks a a version of the internet where the internet has its hands tied behind its back.
Yeah, but you could do the same thing. You could have AMP-compatible pages that degraded gracefully if you disabled JavaScript, and it would still be an improvement.
Well, in your specific example,
yeah,
no, you can't.
Why not?
Because if you have an image tag,
yeah,
the browser is going to download the thing that that points to, right?
Not necessarily.
Yes, necessarily.
Have you been reading the discussion on this on the AMP GitHub page?
No.
There actually is an approved HTML way to do this. That's in the spec.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. That's why I've been reading all of the opened issues, because it's taught me a lot about some of the possible specs. I also enjoy the infighting. It's a lot of fun. But anyway, basically, the idea is sound. Why don't we have this limited subset of HTML and these rules that allow mobile pages to be more lightweight? The problem with that is when, if you're not using it or you don't support it, the page doesn't render correctly.
But that's what the JavaScript's there for.
Not everybody wants JavaScript. JavaScript should enhance a page. It shouldn't load it entirely.
Okay, now check this out. I think that was a legitimate position five years ago.
What, that JavaScript should enhance a page?
That running the internet without JavaScript is okay. That you should design for the Luddites first. Luddites, security conscious. I mean,
well, I'm not even talking about version you want. I'm not even talking about security conscious. I'm talking about speed conscious.
That's kind of like saying that
if the goal is to increase the speed of your load, supporting people who are running without enhancements, such as JavaScript, actually does work.
Okay, but JavaScript is no longer an enhancement. JavaScript is now a fundamental building block of the internet, of the World Wide Web.
At what level? I'm saying it's at a higher level than image loading.
And I'm saying, have you been around the internet lately? Everything needs JavaScript. And it's okay. You know, there was a time when having images on your site was extremely rude, because who had the bandwidth for that? Now, it's kind of the norm. Guess what? Same thing with JavaScript. The room when JavaScript really slowed down stuff. And just like having too many images can slow down a page because it's got to download all those huge images, JavaScript can also be abused. But if not, it's just a part of the web.
Well, let's put it this way. Android Buffet uses a stock theme and a WordPress site. There, that new theme that I installed, which somebody else wrote, loads 22 separate and distinct scripts. If I disabled JavaScript, it would actually run 3 times faster.
3 times?
At least.
What does that mean, 3 times faster?
Well, let's look at what it's loading.
Takes.
It's loading. It is loading a lot of different resources. And this is the other part of the...
Is that a bad thing?
Well, I'm arguing about the AMP idea. Basically, the AMP idea is that it limits what can be loaded under what conditions in order to speed up the page. And I am not saying that there is necessarily anything wrong with JavaScript. But what you're saying is that the page is completely unreadable without it. That seems unfair also.
Not unreadable.
It doesn't.
You're talking about images. So the images don't render.
Images, video. So the page itself is technically not unreadable. But
the page itself is still readable.
Yeah.
And if you made the choice to run without JavaScript, I bet you run into that a lot. So it's no big deal. It's kind of like it's how the web is now. It's not like AMP's making it any worse.
I didn't say it was making it worse. I just think that they are not necessarily going about it well by separating themselves from web standards. HTML exists. There are ways to address this issue in HTML. Why are you creating a new thing?
You know what? True story. The way the web evolves, HTML, HTTP, the standards, it's not like you put a whole bunch of people in a room. They decide on a standard, and then they release a standard, and everybody adopts the standard, and the features show up in browsers.
No, the W3C groups are not that organized.
Vendors add stuff to their products, and the standards organization looks at what's out there and says, yeah, this is a good idea, and they add it to the standard. And then everybody starts using the same name for everything. So If you're going to innovate, you can't wait on the standards committees.
I didn't say you could. And I didn't say you shouldn't stretch. I'm just saying that completely abandoning in favor of JavaScript loading of everything seems like it is not necessarily the best solution.
Is it everything?
What, not the best solution?
No, are they loading everything via JavaScript?
Well, let's see what the JavaScript actually loads on AMP. Well, one, you have their library, which they keep reminding people, you don't have to load from Google. So basically, you'll be loading a library from Google most of the time because most people won't bother to store it themselves.
Which is good.
And bad.
Why is it good? It's good for two reasons. One, it's not tying up a connection to your server. So the web page could be burning those connections, getting other assets. Two, if the majority of people out there are using the Google AMP instance, then it is entirely possible that it's already cached. So it won't have to be downloaded at all. Carry on.
I'm not sure I agree with you.
What do you mean you don't agree with me?
I think what I'm saying...
The things I just said are technically factual. There's no disagreeing.
I know. I'm talking about the overall issue. I still feel very strongly that the way that this is approached needs tweaking. And either way, it may actually get tweaking. They have a project lead. They're actually, despite the fact people are acting as if this is completed, there are, just on the GitHub project alone, there are 116 open issues.
Yeah, it's a thing in flux. That is a true statement there.
Yeah, and that includes things like intent to implement a click-to-play element. And my personal favorite, AMP should support valid HTML.
That was funny.
And that's actually the argument that I was just making. The main purpose of many AMP custom elements is lazy loading media resources. For example, AMP-image instead of image.
Right.
AMP-image is both invalid and useless without JavaScript. It would be great if AMP could accept markup such as, they have another example here, and transform it into AMP-image during the AMP script's initialization phase.
See, okay, now you said it's possible via standard HTML to prevent that image tag from loading, right? The image tag has a source URL, and you're saying that there is a HTML standard way to prevent it from loading?
From even pulling the asset? If I understand correctly, yes. I wouldn't claim to be the person
who has no idea how one would do that. It's not something I've ever tried to do.
The custom element type identifies a custom element interface in a sequence of characters that must match the NC name production, must contain a hyphen minus character, and cannot contain any uppercase ASCII letters. The element definition describes a custom element and consists of custom element type, local name, namespace, custom element prototype, and lifecycle callbacks.
Yeah.
There's a whole
lot. That's what AMP image is. It's a custom tag.
Yeah, but there's more in here in this custom thing where it's actually defining. The use of extends to specify that the element is being registered as a type extension. That is, this element does not introduce a new tag like custom tag elements does, but rather extends an existing element of a different type.
Okay.
So basically, what you can have is you can have an is equals tag inside your standard tag that indicates that it's an extension of an existing type, which means that you could extend it to AMP-image, but it would still work as image.
Right, but would it still... Okay, and that's great and all, but if it acts as an image, then it's going to have a source, and it's going to load the asset from the... it's going to try and load that asset. And the whole point of the AMP image tag is to not download the image from just the HTML.
And isn't that a browser support issue?
What do you mean?
No, usage of the is equals thing I just mentioned. The browser would have to support that function.
Okay, but
I'm looking right now. Let's see. Input editor methods, sticky, no. Web workers, resource. You know. Sorry, I'm on can I use.
What's it called? Is equal?
Yeah.
I don't see that anywhere.
Custom elements, which is the terminology here. Let's see. I always get this. Not supported by default. So here we are. Supported by default in Chrome 43 through Chrome 48, Opera 32 through 34, the last two versions of the Android browser, as well as Chrome for Android, not currently supported in Firefox or IE or Safari.
Okay, so it's not a valid...
It's not widely adopted at the moment.
Okay.
But
so it wouldn't work anyway.
Well, the the picture element is also not widely adopted right now. The one that does responsive images control.
Oh.
And now that's supported in Firefox. Except it's not supported in Firefox by default. You have to turn it on. It's supported in Chrome by default. It's supported in Opera, but not in Safari. It's not supported in IE, but it is supported in Edge, the new Microsoft. There'll always be things like that. That's why they create shims.
Okay.
We'll agree to disagree on this one, I guess.
I personally like AMP because...
I didn't say I disliked AMP. I said I don't think it's ready.
Okay.
I think a lot of these arguments have to shake out because they've made changes based on a lot of these discussions. I've been following a bunch of them. And the whole thing is that sometimes you have to break standards, you can't ignore work that's already been done. And you can't make it so that things completely break. Not if you want adoption. Also, by the way, about loading the library, you're forgetting HTTP2, which works better with loading multiple resources.
I don't believe I was forgetting about it.
I'm just saying that that changes that, you know, the whole concept of having to minify things and consolidate files isn't present if you adopt HTTP2.
No, you should still minify your files.
I'm thinking of concatenate, aren't I?
Concatenate and gzip, maybe, because HTTP 2 gzips on the fly.
Yeah, but I'm thinking of basically minify the program, but concatenate the files. I'm saying the program minify also concatenate.
I don't know if you.
I'm thinking of of merging them together in multiple JavaScript files into one single one, instead of having multiple ones, which has been a common recommendation for speed.
Yeah. I don't know if HTTP2 completely eliminates the benefit of that.
What I understood that multiplexing eliminates, which is part of HTTP2, does. But I admit a few things. While I've read all this stuff and I've tried to understand, I admit to not being a network engineer. So there's some parts where I will say, well, I think I understand what's going on. Some stuff is a little more technical than I'm necessarily comfortable with. It's not that I couldn't figure it out if I read more, but I'm not sure if I've read enough to really get a handle on it. Anyway, on that note, it's now 11:40, so we've gone from having really short shows to having a really long show.
Well, we did have a little bit of a break.
I'm not counting the break. We still went back to an hour. We haven't done an hour in a while.
Okay.
Anyway, shall we adjourn?
Yes.
We will be back next week on Monday the 19th. Until then.
Good night, folks.
Good night.